I'm thankful for the cross and for the sacrifice that that meant for the world, for churches all across America, all across the world. But I'm thankful for the cross for me. And aren't you thankful for Jesus that He died for you? I'm so thankful that in spite of all of our offenses, all of our sins, all of the things that we struggle with, God has given us victory through Him, through His blood, through His sacrifice, through His resurrection, and through His ascension. And all God's people said, I'm telling you, we are grafted. I don't know of anybody that has Jewish background or heritage, but most of us in here are Gentiles today, and we are engrafted because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are part of the greatest family, part of the royal bloodline of all kingdoms, of all kings, of all Lord of Lords. We are engrafted into that special body, which is the body of Christ. And it is a family that will last on for generations, for eternity to come. I think about this. Church is not something that you go to, okay? A lot of people look at it as an organization, and we do some funding and different things like that. We discuss business from time to time. But the church is more than just an organization. It is a living organism. It is part of the bride of Christ, and God is calling us all this morning to higher ground because He has bought us with something more precious than gold or silver or rubies or any such things. He has bought us with His blood, and we are redeemed today. Woo! I had to get that off my chest or something. I'm telling you, there is nothing like knowing Jesus Christ and following Him. There is nothing that the world could offer or give to you or surrender to anything else than following Christ. He is the greatest relationship. It is the greatest pursuit that you will ever do. And praise the Lord for Him. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me once again to Matthew chapter 28. For those of you that were here last week, having 2020 vision for the church, and we're going to continue with that theme today, and we're also going to continue on with our thoughts from Matthew chapter 28, kind of as a springboard verse to our vision, but then also this morning we're going to take a look in detail at what our church family, Mountain View's mission or our purpose statement is. Oftentimes we'll come back through here in the foyer area. Our vision as well as our mission or purpose statement is actually given there in the foyer area as you look past there. But also we're going to give it to you this morning. Also, your mission statement is often in your bulletin, as most people don't recognize it, but it's usually on the back of your bulletin, usually at the bottom there. That's our purpose or our mission statement. And this morning I want us to draw a little bit more into exactly what Christ was trying to say for us to make an impact upon our communities, upon the world. And Jesus said, beginning in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Notice, because it is given to Him, it is not given to anybody else. That authority is strictly His. It's the power that He solely attains through the sacrifice that He gave for all of mankind. "Therefore," He says, "go and make disciples, make learners, make pupils of me," saying, "of all nations, tribes, all cultures, everything, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So God is making a specific, a lot of different actually comments here, and specific commands to us that we're supposed to go and we're supposed to impact those people around us. We're supposed to teach them that which we have learned from the Scripture, that which the Holy Spirit also guides us, and He guides us into all truth. And then notice also the latter part of verse 20, that He is with us always. That provides us great comfort within our hearts and with our spirits. So even whenever we think the times are dark and we don't know how we're going to get through certain days, God promises that He is with us during those times. And I'm so thankful for that. From this passage of Matthew 28, from the Great Commission, we acquire our vision statement, which is, of course, inviting people to experience Christ. And He is the reason why we are here today. Whenever I was younger, sometimes I got that mixed up, okay? Whenever I went sometimes because my parents made me to go, you know, to church, kind of. And then as I got a little bit older, I started to look at girls and was like, ooh, well, that girl's kind of nice in youth group. And I was like, oh, I'm going to church kind of for that person or to associate with these people, with my peers. But then I started to really recognize what church is truly all about. It is wrapped up solely in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have come here for any other reason, you're missing the mark. We're looking to the author, the finisher of our faith. We're actually getting our marching orders even for today to get victory, and also for tomorrow as well. God wants us to be inspired by this vision. And I pray that it would captivate our hearts and that we feel total security in this. Inviting people to experience Christ because good things are supposed to be shared. Most of us in here are parents. Whenever just recently someone shared with me that they were expecting, I was like, oh man, it almost felt like I was actually expecting. We're not, okay. But it felt so good. I was rejoicing with the person because they were trying for so long to get pregnant. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. There's something about that. Whenever we have grandkids, I'm not that old yet, but for you that are grandparents in here, we rejoice whenever there's good things to be shared, do we not? Listen, the greatest thing in all the world that we can possibly do and to share and to accomplish, it is to invite other people to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. In order to make this a reality, our vision statement a reality, we considered last week, we have to be intentional. We have to be interested in other people's lives, and we have to be invested for kingdom work. And I pray that we take that to heart. You can listen to that on the internet on our church's website if you'd like to get a little bit more information about that from last week. This morning we're going to consider not just our vision statement, but now more particularly our mission or our purpose statement. But before we actually get into what our church family's mission statement is, I want you to take a look at some comical mission statements of organizations. Now, again, these are supposed to be a little lighthearted and things. Some of you may actually have vision or mission statements, like in your place of employment. I know Haas's in Lewistown, they had one, and whenever we had to actually memorize it at one point in time, and we got like rated on how we did and everything like that. And I remember memorizing it. You got, I think it was like a little bit of bump, like a salary or something like that. It was like 10 cents extra or something. It wasn't a lot, but at least you memorized it. And from time to time, they would bring that through with business meetings and different things. Why? Because we were supposed to keep it in the forefront of our minds that it wasn't just a job. We were trying to serve other people and make the most of that opportunity. This morning, take a look at some of these comical sayings. These are all in office settings, by the way, for those of you that are listening on audio. It says, there's a background sign, that's their mission statement, whatever. That's our mission statement. We wrote it the same day we switched to decaf. And such is the case. That's why we need coffee sometimes, folks. I'm not a coffee drinker myself, but some of us need that. Here's a second sign that says, this is their mission statement, let's not talk about it. And the caption underneath says, that's our new mission statement, we've had a rough year. And maybe that's the case too. Sometimes we go through things, it's like, oh, what are we doing here? The next one communicates this as well. The mission statement is, why are we doing this? Did you ever wonder why you do certain things? It's like, man, why are we doing this? The caption at the bottom says, it's not a great mission statement, but we'll revise it if things get better. And I believe that to be true too. Sometimes we just need to reorganize some thoughts. And I think to get some regeneration amongst the body, we need to be held captive, I believe, by the thought of honoring Christ through everything, through the church, through community, by touching other people's lives. I want us to take a look at how our vision affects our mission. And they are interrelated here, right? There is a part of a gear process that if you're not connecting with the vision, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mission. All right. Sometimes we get the mission. It's like, okay, we can do this. But if you lose the vision, you're not going to be any good as far as whenever it comes down to the mission aspect of the church and what God wants us to be involved with and in His pursuit. See, vision affects both our mission or purpose. We are called and commissioned by God. We are changed by His grace and by His love and by His mercy. We are dedicated to following Him, to honor Him. And we're committed to reach every generation with Christ. And that's basically our vision, but also our mission. And now let's take a look at our mission statement, and this is the full thing, and then we're going to break it down into basically three groups here this morning. And what I'd like us to do all together at one time is try to repeat this together. Now, again, you saw this, you see this in your bulletin, or at least maybe we just scan over it. You see this on a regular basis. For my elders, we look over the vision and mission statement every single time that we meet, because I send it to them in the notes, we look for it. I may not necessarily articulate it right there and then in the meeting, but oftentimes I highlight one of those two things. Why is that? It's because it's supposed to pull us. It's supposed to gravitate us to something more important than just fulfilling like a checkbox, like, okay, we're here. Okay, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. No, there's something bigger. There's a grander perspective that God wants us to be captivated within our hearts. And so let's say this together this morning as a church family. Mountain View Chapel exists to honor God by leading the lost to salvation in Jesus Christ, promoting Christian growth in individuals and families, meeting the spiritual, physical, and social needs of those who God places in our lives. That is a great mission statement, by the way. It basically breaks it down into three areas that I want to concentrate on this morning and what that looks like for each one of us here today. The first aspect is Mountain View Chapel exists to honor who? To honor God. All right, if we're not here to honor God, we might just pack up, folks. We are here for one purpose and one person alone, and that is Jesus Christ. To make His name known, and it is already great, by the way. His name's great. We don't need to recognize that oftentimes, but He's awesome. Oftentimes, I think in our lives that we just come for different reasons, but we are established. We are governed. We are commissioned. We are equipped to make much of Him who has saved us, who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're not just here to fill a box or to, what do other people think of me? We're here to honor Christ. That's the reason why we got up this morning. That's the reason why we brushed our teeth. That's the reason why we look the way that we do. In essence, it's to honor Him. There's a lot of organizations that have noble perspectives, but there is none greater commission in all the world for an organization to exist rather than to honor God. Notice the first aspect of this, what this means. It means leading the lost to salvation in Jesus Christ. Listen, a couple of months ago, had the opportunity, I was talking with someone about Jesus, and they were a little apprehensive with what I was sharing with them. And so I drew the attention. I said, you know what, I would love for you to come to Mountain View. And if you would come, you know what, I'd like to take you out to eat with my family. This person was still a little apprehensive. And I said, listen, what if I told you that if you come to Mountain View, I will give you $100,000? What would you say? And the person was like, she was saying, okay, you don't have $100,000. You're probably in her mind, you know, different things. But I said, what if I told you, and that would be true, and not only that, but if you bring 10 friends, I will give them each $10,000. Would you come? And she said, no. And I'm like, you're lying to me. Because in all likelihood, each one of us would be like, okay, if you're going to give other people, we'd be like, yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to do everything. We're going to sacrifice. Nothing's going to keep us away. I don't care if there's a foot of snow out here. All right, we're going to be there that Sunday. Why is that? Because it is worth it. We think that the goal, the end thereof, of attaining that money is worth the sacrifice for us to get there. But I think about this morning. We have more promised to us more than millions of dollars because of what Christ did for us. And we want other people to be the recipients, the beneficiaries of His grace and of His love, don't you? I want to. I don't want to just be like, oh, it's just me. I didn't really influence anybody, Jesus. My coffer is basically empty. Christ doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to influence each other by what we share, by what we say, by our actions. All these things are communicating to the lost that they need Christ. And I know some people say, well, you don't necessarily need to do this. And listen, It's great that our actions and the lives that we live, and that's great and that's a noble thing. But also people aren't going to know that unless we tell them about Christ. And this really brings down to outreach. Each one of us in here have a different area, I believe, and sphere of influence that we can outreach other people. Listen, I think about this. This last week, I was able to visit prisons lately. And I was talking with individuals in there. And I said, do you guys realize this? You have the amazing ability. There's some people in here that I'm not going to be able to reach and not able to touch this week. And they're like, uh-huh. They were like, we wish we could exchange places. That's what they're saying. But I recognize this. This is so true. There are some people that God will bring into contact with you this week that I will not be able to minister to. But God allows you to touch their life. It may even just be a window of opportunity just to share something that would be inspiring, something positive, something from the Scriptures that somebody needs just a little bit of a glimpse of hope. I don't know about you lately, but it seems like just in community, I thank God for the oasis of Mountain View. I feel just an oasis here today. Man, God's just filling my soul with a lot of different things. But our community right now is hurting on a lot of different levels, folks. And we need to be at the throne of grace, and we need to be asking God for safety, absolutely, for boldness, for sure. We need to have His peace pass our fears that we have within ourselves, because oftentimes fear cripples us from doing what God wants us to do. Oftentimes we'll say, okay, God, if you want this, then set up, oh, you're like, then all of a sudden it happens, we're like, ah! And then we're fearful, we become intimidated. Listen, whenever we are living for Christ, whenever we are doing what He has called us to do, He wants us to follow through with that. He wants us to make an impact. He wants us to be an outreach, an extension of Him. May the Spirit lead us to people today and even this week. We're going out to eat later on this afternoon. I think about this because there are people that may be a waitress or a waiter to us. And I think about these people, or they're just kind of existing, and they may not necessarily know the truth that we have and the truth that we've come to love and appreciate. May the Spirit lead us and direct us and our steps to those that need seeds of truth planted in their life that would give them a harvest of hope. Man, have you ever been there before? It sometimes feels like hopeless situations. And God just rekindles that hope within your heart and gives you a better day. Sometimes it doesn't happen that night, but in the morning, God always renews that hope. May He lead us to people who would be receptive of the gospel. Do what you can, do what I can, when we can, to reach others with the greatest person that has impacted us in our lives. Proverbs 11:30 says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And the one who is wise, saves lives," or saves souls. Sometimes we don't have a burden for people. Sometimes we're so captivated with what our own lives are that we don't see people how Christ wants us to see them. They may have a larger bank account than us. Their financial stock portfolio may look a little bit better than ours. But I reminded this last week, and I don't know necessarily his relationship with Jesus. I think about Kobe Bryant. Died pretty young, in my opinion. Great basketball player. Inspired, drives. I miss my calling, maybe, to play basketball. Not here. I wouldn't have been as good as him. But folks, life is brief. And it is precious. But what does it matter if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? God wants us to take seriously the aspect of touching other people's lives with His truth. That Jesus does love people. He gave His life for them. But also it's up to us to share that truth and to share that reality with other people. No wonder that's the very first bracket of our mission statement, because without this, we are in trouble, and our community is definitely in trouble as well. Let's take a look at our mission statement, the second part of it. Mountain View Chapel exists to honor God by promoting Christian growth in individuals and family. obviously promoting Christian growth in individuals. We want to see individual growth in each one of our lives in different ways. Sometimes that comes out in different shapes and different forms. Sometimes as families, we don't kind of collectively see that sometimes, but then other times we're like, oh, this person is growing in the faith. And we're not just talking about stature here. We're talking about the fruition that God develops within our lives, that maturity that God kindles and that He grows within us. What does this have to do with? This has to do, I believe, promoting Christian growth in individuals and families. I'm talking here about obedience. I'm talking about following Christ. Following Him whenever it is convenient and even whenever it is not convenient. Most of the times in our lives, whenever we're obedient to God, it is not convenient for us. We don't maybe feel like doing it, or whenever we don't. Growing up, I would say to my mom, do we have to do this? Do you ever say that? Okay, to maybe someone on the floor, do we have to do this? And my mom would say oftentimes, no, we don't have to. I'm like, yay, we don't have to. She goes, no, you get to. I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of the same thing here. We don't have to do certain things. We get to do certain things. Do you realize this morning you didn't have to get up and go to church? You got to get up and go to church. Why is that? Because we celebrate Him. We celebrate Him who has saved us, who has called us with extremely high calling to go out into all the world and to preach and to teach and mimic and do everything that we possibly can to influence other people with Him. And what a privilege, what a standing it is to have that calling upon our lives. So we follow Him whenever it is convenient and whenever it's not. Whenever we have pain and suffering through that, yes, we can do that. I think about this in the scripture from Isaiah. It says, by His stripes we are healed. Sometimes whenever we go through very, very dark, deep waters and there's like nobody else around, God is there with us. And He sustains us. And I know sometimes you don't want to presume upon the grace of God, but the amazing thing is, whenever it's just you and God, He's all you need. And He comes through every single time. Don't believe a lie that you're alone, and maybe even whenever you feel alone. But you're never alone with Christ. Think about this morning with obedience, with following Him, and sometimes we may not want to do that. He knows what is best for us. We know that up here, right? But sometimes in reality, we're like, this looks intimidating to me. I don't want to pursue. I don't want to go down this path. I see it. It's like all these roads are leading me down this path, and I don't want to go down this path. I don't want to go down this road, God. But God, if this is what You would have me to do, in my brokenness, by Your power, I will be able to overcome. That's more of a God thing than anything else. But we submit, we surrender to Him, no matter what that looks like. We celebrate the One who has done so much for us. We obey Christ and what He wants us to do, because that's the highest privilege, that's the highest calling that we have, is to accomplish what He wants for us to do. But that takes obedience. Remember the older hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way." To be happy in Jesus than to trust, that's faith, and obey. Faith, we don't necessarily know what all the time that entails, but it's walking by faith, by confidence in Him. It's not a blind faith, it's following what He tells us to do. And then obeying, saying, God, I'll follow You. No matter what the cost, no matter what that looks like, no matter what the answer seems to be right now, or even what the future may hold, God, I trust You, and I'm going to walk by obedience. God is honored by that life. And it's only a matter of time until He breaks through and conveys to you what He would have you to do. The third part of our mission statement is this. Mountain View Chapel exists to honor God by meeting the spiritual, physical, and social needs of those who God places in our lives. Listen, ask God in what ways He can use you. Do you ever ask Him that? Say, God, what would You have me to do today? I know that there was about a month or so ago, somebody came up to me and actually said, Pastor Dave, is there anything that you need in the church that I can do? I'm like, oh, I almost fell over, right? That doesn't normally happen to me, at least on a regular basis. But I actually got excited. I was like, okay, well, I don't exactly know, but we can use maybe in this area. So try this area. And sometimes it's one of those things that, yes, this may be the first thing, or no, it may not be, and God closes that door, but He'll open up different doors, and then all of a sudden you'll know whenever He leads you, it's like, oh my goodness, this is what He wants me to do. This is His plan for me. We get excited about that. We feel the Spirit drawing to us. We see the fruit and the productivity of that. Ask God in which ways He can use you, you and I, that are relevant as well as life-giving to people that are obviously in the pews around us, but also to people that are in community. Pray for those eyes to be open to the needs of others. Oftentimes, we'll go through a day, and we may not even pray that. So, God, open up my eyes to see the needs of individuals around me. Sometimes this happens at Sharp Shopper for me, sometimes at Walmart, sometimes at Paul B's. Sometimes it happens whenever I'm counseling with people. We can get distracted. This last past week, I'll be honest, I was counseling with somebody, and I was thinking about another situation in my life, and I was just like, I had to be present for them, and I had to be present kind of for me at the same time. I was like, I don't know what this looks like. God, help me. I need to concentrate on this. And I started to pray, say, God, help me to focus on what they're talking with me so I can help them. Oftentimes in our lives, if we're not careful, we'll go throughout an entire day and not pray one time for God to open up our eyes to the needs of other people. You say, Pastor Dave, how do you know that? It's happened to me. I don't want to live like that anymore. There is a world outside of this building that is in desperate need of who we have and what we know. Pray for those people that God places upon our heart. I think of this amazing passage in John 13:35, it says this, "By this shall all men, all people know that you are my disciples." What is this? By your love that you have for one another. So what does that look like? The very first notice that the aspect is spiritual. Notice here the spiritual need. So God is saying to us this morning, by your love for one another in the spiritual realm. Listen, one of the greatest things that you can actually do for somebody is pray for them. In fact, one of the easiest things, actually, whenever somebody is telling me a very challenging situation, it's almost like hopeless to a certain degree, at least from their perspective, and it's almost like it's overwhelming to their soul. The very first thing that comes to my mind, hey, can I pray for you? You're like, well, that sounds a little weird. What's weird to say, you know what, I hope that things get better. Listen, there's not power too much in that. There's power in the name of Jesus and overcoming that and meeting the person's need exactly where they're at and praying for them. That's the spiritual side of that. If they don't know Christ, pray for them to even come to know Christ. There's been times that I've actually prayed for somebody in my prayer and I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have prayed that. I just felt that they didn't know Christ. And so I was like, God, lead them to know you. And I was like, I hope they didn't take offense to that. Listen, that's not offensive. That's a great thing that you're calling somebody to have that relationship, that intimacy with Him. We are called to help in the spiritual realm, I believe, in that regard. Not only is it the spiritual, but also it's the physical. The physical could involve health issues that person's going through. It could be food, or it could be a financial difficulty. It could be transportation. The list goes on and on with the physical realm that we are supposed to call to meet and to step up. And that looks like something different for each one of us in here. But we're called to do that. To meet the spiritual, absolutely. But also the physical. Christ did that even by the feeding of the 5,000 plus. He met the physical needs of people. And it would be great saying, okay, you know what? Jesus was saying, you know, I'll pray for all of you that your bellies will be filled. But that's great. That's the spiritual side. But He could do something to meet also the physical, the tangible needs of people. The same thing it is in our lives. And that's going to require sacrifice. That's going to require time. That's going to require energy. Oftentimes, whenever we are at our wits' end with the physical aspect, God will touch us in such a way that we'll be able to meet the physical need. And then oftentimes the spiritual need will start, the heart will start to soften oftentimes through that. So it's the spiritual, the physical, the social needs. I was talking with one individual this last past week. There's some people in community. They just need somebody to listen to them. Someone to share that they care. There's a lot of elderly around in Ohessa Manor, Valley View, different places of that nature. Sometimes we prejudge people. We shouldn't do that. But the love of Christ should compel us just to listen, to care for them and their needs. To be a true friend. And just to be there. Sometimes one of the greatest things of just being a pastor is just being there for people. But God can use you in that way as well. In closing this morning, going back, that was observant, by the way. Without a vision, the people perish. This is taken, of course, from Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, and the word vision is blurred. You see that a little bit? Some of you in the back may not be able to. Listen, God doesn't want you to have blurred vision this week. He wants you to be clear. He wants you to be focused. He wants you to be crisp in your vision so that you can influence other people. Time is of the essence. Don't fade. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't fret. Do not fail of the grace of God that has been given to you so that you can share with other people to make a difference. What is needed for that? You're going to have to let God adjust your vision. Notice it wasn't pastor or an elder or a Sunday school teacher. It's God Himself. He has to gain perspective. He has to gain the preeminence in our lives. Allow God to adjust your vision for the needs of people in our church, people in community, absolutely, for eternity is at stake. Allow God to adjust your vision.